Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Today on Route 51, it's back to politics as we focus on the countdown to June 5th. Just 19 days until the state of Wisconsin votes on the recall elections involving Governor Scott Walker, Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clefish, and four state Senate seats, including the 29th state Senate district, in which two veteran central Wisconsin legislators are facing off in a contest which could determine control of the Senate. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll be discussing the gubernatorial race between Scott Walker and Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett, and that 29th state Senate race between Republican Jerry Petruski and Democrat Donna Seidel. With our analysts today, Christine Bremer-Moogley, a Democratic Party activist from Wausau, and Kevin Stevenson, who's making his first appearance on this show, a Republican Party activist from Merrill. We'll be talking about the latest polls, the issues, and the battle over job statistics, and we'll be doing it with your help. Give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742 to express your opinion, tell us who you're going to vote for and why, tell us what issues are important to you, and tell us who you trust and who you don't trust to guide the state after June 5th. What do you think of the recall process? Is it a waste of time and money, an effort to undo a legitimate election? Or do you think that what Governor Walker did with budget cuts and collective bargaining justifies this extraordinary action? We want to hear from you. Give us a phone call at 1-800-780-9742. Our lines are wide open right now, and you can get right in. Well, Christine and Kevin, Governor Walker is leading Mayor Tom Barrett in the polls. A couple of weeks ago, that race was seen as a virtual tie. Now Walker is ahead by 5 points, according to a public policy research poll. 6 points, according to a new Marquette University poll. Are the polls accurate? Is Walker pulling away? And if so, why? Why don't we start with you, Christine?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for having me, Glenn. And it's a thrill to be with Kevin here. He's one of my heroes because Rush Limbaugh actually called him a little schlub from a podoc town. And I think when he disagreed with him about whether President Obama should fail, and when Mr. Stevenson said we none of us want our president to fail, he was attacked for that. And I just think he's fantastic. So I'm really happy to be here, even though he's a Republican. I will let that go. And
well, Kevin is a Republican, as I suspect we will find out this week.
I know we will, but I still like him anyway. So there you go. But with regard to the polls, interesting about this poll because it is, in my opinion, and in the opinion of many who have analyzed it, it's a challenging poll, and I'm talking about the PPP poll. They surveyed a number of Republicans. I think it was 35 Republicans to 28 Democrats and 37 Independents. So it's skewed Republican, in my opinion. But even so, the margin of error in that poll, if you study it, is 3.4%. So it's so close. You know, this is still, we're 1.8% in the margin of error. So when we talk about polls now, you know, we're right on the edge. So I think that this is too close to call. We're 50-50 state, and this poll reflects it.
Well, the Marquette University poll, though, kind of backs that up, doesn't it? It's the same margin, about 5 or 6 points.
Yeah, it's close. We're tied.
Kevin, do you share that analysis? A lot of people on your side of the aisle are saying, hey, our governor is going to pull this off.
Oh, I'm sure that Governor Walker will pull this off. What you're looking at with polls, though, is that polls can be very misleading. And right now, anybody willing to put money on a poll, let me know and we'll match the money.
No bets.
Because we need everybody to get out and vote, especially Republicans. And I think that's where the election is won. When you start releasing a poll that says you're comfortably ahead, people start to relax. They start to give up. And this is an election that's going to matter. We don't want anybody to look at the polls and say, I don't have to worry about it anymore. It's too close to call. I agree with Christine. I think we're looking at a 50-50 race. It's a toss-up race yet.
I think what the poll shows, though, Kevin, is that, and what all the polls have shown throughout this race, is that Walker's really capped. He doesn't go over 50%. And I think we know that in order to win this election, it's that small group of independents, if there are any left, and people undecided, if there are any left in our state, who will decide this.
All you need is 50% plus one.
Well, right. And I think what you're looking at out there now, though, is you also have, a fairly large silent majority that have felt somewhat intimidated by expressing their opinions because they're afraid of the far right, they're afraid of the far left. If they say what they want to say, they feel that they're going to be attacked. And those are the people that both sides have to look at and going after. I think that they're going to break for the Republicans. I think Walker and Jerry are going to pick up a large number of those people that aren't willing to face what they feel is intimidation, whether it be from the left or the right.
Yeah, I think that when we look at the people polled, one-third of the people polled have stopped even talking to some of their neighbors and friends because we're so divided. So in our state right now, when we talk about divide and conquer, Walker was right. He did divide us, but we just, as we've been saying, we can't let him conquer us. So right now, what we have to say is, people on both sides have to get out. If they want to vote, this is one of the most important elections we could have.
But when you look at this, go clear back to when we started what was a confrontation. And that started back when senators left the state of Wisconsin to visit Illinois. Now, I have a lot of family from Iowa. Please go to Iowa next time. Dubuque is lovely.
Wait a minute. This confrontation didn't start with them leaving. They left because of what the governor did. So let's keep that in mind. The only option that they had to stop this train, to let people actually know what Governor Walker was trying to pull, was to leave the state. That was the only thing they could do, and they were courageous to do it.
But that's the dispute. Who is responsible for dividing the state? Is it Governor Walker, or is it the 14 senators who fled to Illinois?
Okay,
and depending on who you talk to, you're going to get a different answer.
Wait a minute. Let me just answer that. We can talk about our Donna Seidel, our Representative Donna Seidel, because right when this whole thing started and the governor announced we're going to have a special session on jobs, The Democrats went to him with 10 proposals on jobs, and they had criteria. They wanted him to start fast. This had to be jobs that work fast, and they had to be tax incentives that actually were based upon performance. And the governor agreed with them. And these were Democrats. It was Peter Barca and Donna Seidel and the other leaders going and saying, we'll work with you. These are 10 ideas. And the governor liked the ideas. And what happened? As soon as it got forward, as soon as the legislature came into session, they threw them all out. Not one of those ideas went forward. Not one. And so when we talk about confrontation, and we talk about the need for bipartisanship, we have someone right in our district who tried to be bipartisan, and that was thrown out, and nothing happened after that.
But that's in the assembly. The Senate is where the confrontation took place. In the Senate is where you had the senators decide that we're going to leave. That created the confrontation.
Hold your thoughts. I want to get to a phone call. We've got one caller anyway who hasn't been intimidated, at least not thus far. Tony from Tomahawk here on Route 51 with Chris Bremer-Moogley and Kevin Stevenson. Hello, Tony.
I'm wondering if the Dems are just brain dead or do they want to lose, because Governor Walker has given the public an issue that if the Republicans got a hold of it, it would be in every ad, and that issue has to do with Tim Russell, who is the guy that Walker hired 7 times. And this is a guy who had been fired from a state job for, quote, gross financial misconduct. And this is all open information. This isn't secret rumor. This is all part of open court records. And this is the guy who then stole from an Iraq veterans fund for veterans and children. And for God's sakes, Walker and this Tim Russell set up the whole thing. Only 2 people, Walker and Tim Russell, set it up. And then Russell is the same guy that was the first person that Walker called when Darlene Wink got arrested for campaign violations. I just do not understand why the Dems have not talked about this issue, because to my mind, Walker is either incompetent or corrupt or both. Because he hired this guy. He took away supervision of the fund from an American Legion post. For God's sakes, what could be more incendiary than that? And then the guy goes and steals $20,000 from the group.
Tony, thanks so much for the phone call. We're going to give our guests a chance to respond. And again, if you'd like to join us, 1-800-780-9742. Christine, we'll start with you, then Kevin.
Tony, I think you're right about the conduct of Governor Walker being something that is so certainly subject to our criticism, and the Democrats are certainly not brain dead. And if you've been following this week, the whole topic that Mayor Barrett has been talking about is this issue of the probe that has been, the John Doe probe that District Attorney Chisholm in Milwaukee has undertaken. You know, right now, Governor Walker has a criminal defense fund which you are not allowed to have in our state unless you are under investigation or charged with a crime with regard to election law. So we've asked Governor Walker, well, which is it? Are you under investigation or have you been charged with a crime? And his answer is, I can't tell you that. You know, and the people of this state, and I think, Kevin, you would agree with me because you're a very well-reasoned guy, the people of this state have a right to know what is going on before they vote. Is this governor going to be indicted as soon as we're done with this election? I mean, don't you think we should know that before we vote? And why doesn't Governor Walker tell us? Who gave him the $60,000 that he put in his criminal defense fund? He won't even tell us that. Who gave it to him? So what's going on with that, Kevin?
Well, I don't think the Democrats are brain dead either. But what you have to understand with this case is that it was the Walker and through his people who asked for the investigation up front. They thought that there was money missing. They turned Russell in to the DA, investigated. The DA has then progressed with his investigation and expanded it. The DEA does not have to tell Walker whether he's being investigated or not. It's a blind investigation. Now, Walker, on the other hand, has decided if you're not willing to tell me whether I'm being investigated or not, I'm going to set the money aside now for a defense fund.
Well, Kevin, I think that, with due respect, I think that's a little naive. Because clearly Chisholm has told the governor he's under investigation. He's been interrogated a number of times. He's been seen going into the office, you know, at odd hours to talk to Chisholm. He's hired really top criminal defense firms from Chicago and Milwaukee. I mean, you don't do that unless you got some trouble, boy. And he's got some, and we don't know what it is, and we need to know.
Well, I think that the governor's just being smart. Rather to have the good people up front, look into the accusations, see what Mr. Chisholm wants to bring forward. It's all an investigation right now, and it doesn't matter what comes out. Whether it comes out before the election or not is up to D.A. Chisholm.
Tony, thanks so much for the phone call. I want to move on, and incidentally, this John Doe investigation is the subject of the latest commercials, attack ads, if you're a Republican coming from the Barrett campaign. So I suspect we will be hearing more about it. But I want to touch on this Marquette University poll before we move on to other issue-oriented matters. The poll also shows Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clefish leading her Democratic opponent, firefighter Malin Mitchell, and it shows an enthusiasm gap. 91% of Republicans say they're fired up and ready to vote, but only 83% of Democrats. Christine, how could that be? How can there be an enthusiasm gap when your Democratic colleagues went to the extraordinary steps of circulating these petitions in the cold in January and February? You got close to 1 million signatures by some count. Why an enthusiasm gap, according to this poll?
Well, first of all, I'd like to talk about Malin Mitchell. He's one of the most exciting new politicians we've seen in a long time, and his numbers have come way up. He came from a zero with no background at all in terms of people knowing who he was, up until where he's really challenging Rebecca Clefish. And whether you think she's people call her all kinds of things, but whether you think she's the smartest bulb in the box or not, the point is that that she is on TV often and she's well-spoken when she speaks into
the camera.
She
handled herself pretty well with Mike Gushue over the weekend.
Yeah, you have to give it to her. So I'd like to give credit to Malin because I think he's really exciting and he's fantastic. But with regard to the enthusiasm gap, I mean, think about this, Glenn. We've had a governor with no limits on his campaign fundraising, and he's raised $25 million. Up here in our land, if we look at our ads on TV, that's about 5-1 against Barrett. So is it easy to say it's hard to be really excited when you see all these ads coming against you? Even me, and I'm half nuts when it comes to this stuff in terms of enthusiasm, I get a little depressed.
All right. The Republican National Committee, led by Wisconsin's own Reince Priebus, says it is all in the gubernatorial race. But the Democratic National Committee apparently is not. Media reports indicate that the Barrett campaign was rebuffed in its efforts to get the DNC to spend $500,000 on the race. Christine, is that true? And why would the National Democratic Party not be involved in spending a lot of money in a race that could determine whether President Obama wins Wisconsin in November and therefore whether or not he's reelected?
Well, I certainly don't think you should sell the DNC short. Do you think that our president would be so short-sighted to not come to Wisconsin and help us now in our hour of need? Can you imagine what would happen to the outlook for him in Wisconsin later? You should not rule out that the DNC is going to come here I this afternoon, as a matter of fact, I received a letter from the DNC saying, we're all in Wisconsin. We will be there. We are sending our people. They are on their way to Wisconsin. Field organizers, they're asking for money. There is going to be a huge push in Wisconsin. We know that there are 200,000 people that were not registered to vote that signed the petition against Walker. We're finding them, and they will be at the polls.
Do you think the president is going to come here and campaign for Tom Barrett? You just implied that.
Well, we would love to see our president here, but if he can't make it because of other issues, we'd like to see President Clinton. We'd like to see any Democratic leader that can come and be here with us. We'd like to see him.
If the president did show up, Kevin, would that backfire?
Well, you have a president whose polls in Wisconsin are 50-50 right now, and he's dropping in the polls in Wisconsin. Now, the DNC, day late, dollar short. I'm sorry. I don't think they ever wanted this race because this race is going to affect the presidential race come November. If the Democrats go all in and get whooped, it's not going to help Obama. Obama will drop.
Well, I think you got to remember that Scott Walker's best friends with Reince Priebus. And so we've got the RNC helping Scott like crazy. We've got the Governor's Association of the Republican Party helping him like crazy. And he's got really, really rich friends. And so he's got a lot of help.
Well, I don't see too many poor Democrats out there not throwing the money in there.
Come on. We're going to have to take a quick break, but I want to look at the fact that the polls apparently show Barrett dropping 5 or 6 points. They also show the same Marquette University poll showing Barack Obama losing 5 or 6 points of his lead over Mitt Romney in the state. Could this be a result, and I'm just throwing this out, what has changed between the two polls? Could this be a result of the president saying he endorses gay marriage? Could it be a backlash in Wisconsin among conservative Democrats withdrawing their support not only from the president, but other Democrats like Tom Barrett?
Gosh, Glenn, no, I don't think so. You know, if you look at the polling, if you analyze that PPP poll, and you look at the independents that were polled, Tom Barrett went up 7 points among independents. So remember, that's the group we're looking at. So I think it's an interesting question to throw out there. I certainly would hope not. I don't think we have a homophobic state, and I think that people, they might be conservative, but they're not going to hold that against the president. I think they understand he's a leader for all of us.
Kevin, Stephen, why the narrow
polls? I don't think that's going to be an issue for conservative Republicans. They're all in to start with, and I don't think that issue is going to add one more conservative jumping on the bad way. As far as Democrats, the blue dogs who might want to jump in, it may affect a few, but I don't think it's going to affect enough that's going to swing a race.
The issue of gay marriage has been a very volatile one, and we have Mitt Romney saying that he's in favor of traditional marriage between a man and a woman, but there are a number of prominent Republicans, gay Republicans, people like Steve Schmidt, the log cabin Republicans, who have come forward and said, you're on the wrong side of history here. You need to get with the times and maybe change your attitudes. Kevin, as a Republican, what do you think?
I think we're going to see some generational changes. If you ask my parents about gay marriage, adamantly against. They won't even support giving them rights. My generation of where I grew up in, we grew up with a more open mind toward that. Now, do I support gay marriage? No. Do I support them having equal rights? Yes. Now, you talk to my son who's 25, 27. What's the problem? Let them vote. Let them get married. So I think as generations go through, you're going to see this balance out. But it's a generational issue that's going to change.
I'm Glenn Moberg. You're listening to Route 51 Regional Talk Radio with Democrat Christine Bremer-Moogley and Republican Kevin Stevenson talking about recall election politics, taking your phone calls. We've got wide open phone lines at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742.
Support for WPR comes from Rely Local Wausau, working to build the local economy and strengthen the community by making local business everybody's business. Learn more about locally owned and operated businesses at relylocal.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51. We're talking recall election politics with Democrat Christine Bremer-Moogley and Republican Kevin Stevenson. I want to set the plate here by playing some clips that were recorded from Scott Walker this past week at the Republican convention in Green Bay, and Tom Barrett at his victory party. First, let's hear the governor.
Today, I want to reaffirm to you our commitment to help not the government, But the people of Wisconsin create 250,000 new jobs by 2015. It's a commitment I made in the campaign the first time. It's a commitment I make today. And by 2015, with your help, it's a commitment we'll see fulfilled for the betterment of all the people of Wisconsin. And if you listen to what the mayor said when he talked during this primary election to special interest group forums from across the state, he outlined an agenda that would raise taxes on manufacturers, on agricultural-based interests, on small businesses, and on property taxpayers. That's not a way to take Wisconsin forward. That's a way of taking Wisconsin backwards. Think about it. Last February and March, the out-of-state special interests poured millions of dollars trying to attack DNR reforms. Then they went after the state Supreme Court race. Then they went after six brave Republican state senators. Then they got involved in the recall movement itself. And for the past several months, they've been pouring millions and millions and millions of dollars into the state. And I would imagine over the next 3 weeks, they're going to pour money in attacking me like we've never seen in the state of Wisconsin. But we've got something that trumps that. We stand with the hardworking taxpayers of Wisconsin. And the hardworking taxpayers, I believe, sent a message on Tuesday. And I believe, again, on June 5th, they're going to send an equally powerful message that we want someone who stands with the taxpayers and not the powerful special interests.
It's Governor Walker at the Republican State Convention in Green Bay. I want some quick reaction from both of you. Christine, we'll start with you.
Well, with regard to his job number for 250,000 jobs, if he ever made it to the end of his term, which he won't, he's engaging in magical thinking. His numbers are magical numbers, and this is magical thinking. It won't happen. It can't happen.
And what about the millions of dollars pouring into the state? Have we seen any of that yet?
No, actually, we haven't. And we would really like to see it. The only place we see millions coming into the state is in a Scott Walker's pocket. So this is ridiculous. I mean, I it's just a joke.
Kevin Stevenson,
joke.
Your reaction to the governor.
You got to laugh at stuff like this. there's a lot of money coming in on the Democratic side. It's showing up in different places, different ways. And the ads are just getting started with them.
He doubled down on this 250,000 jobs. Your reaction to that?
You got to have a goal, and you just well set a goal that's out there that you want people to really shoot for, and you want people and businesses to know that you're going to go after that. And they hear 250 jobs, 215,000 jobs. Wait a minute, maybe they're willing to help us. Maybe they're willing to do some business with us, and that's what companies want to hear right now.
All right, let's listen to Tom Barrett now at his victory speech after his primary victory over Kathleen Falk and Kathleen Vineout and also Doug LaFollette.
We need a leader who will be independent, and I will be independent. I will not be beholden to out-of-state special interests. And we all know what's going on here. Scott Walker, instead of staying home in Wisconsin and focusing on creating jobs here, has decided that he is going to be a rock star to the far right in this nation. And he has traveled to California, to Texas, to Illinois again, to Florida. You name it, he's been there. I think he was in Iowa yesterday trying to raise money. And he's trying to raise money, talking about how successful he's been going after workers' rights in this country. And he wants to set the example. Well, it's time we set the example in this state and tell him that we are not going to do that. Do we want a governor who has divided this state like it's never been divided before?
No!
Do we want a governor who has caused this state to lose more jobs than any other state in this country?
No!
Do we want a governor who focuses on giving tax breaks to corporations and the wealthiest people in this state?
No!
Do we want a governor who raises 60 to 70% of his funds from outside the state of Wisconsin?
No!
And do we want a governor who has to have a legal defense fund, a criminal defense fund? We do not want that in this state.
That's Tom Barrett at his victory celebration. And let's start with you this time, Kevin. Your reaction to Tom Barrett's remarks.
Oh, it's what you would typically expect. A lot of people that talked to me about his remarks that night thought he was angry. They wanted to know, why is he so angry? I don't know. You'd have to ask him and other Democrats. You're a Democrat, go ask them. One thing I find kind of interesting is we're not going to have a convention for the Democrats until after we have this election. Now, you would think if you wanted more enthusiasm, you would have your convention before to get the troops rallied, everybody going, rah, rah, rah. And again, maybe the enthusiasm isn't quite there like they want, that they want to put this in front.
Christine, your reaction to Tom Barrett's remarks?
Well, I think that I think the most important thing about Tom as this time as compared to 2010 is he is much more energetic. I mean, I believe that he really has it in him now that he knows how important this is and we need to win. And so when he talks about the divisions in our state, he feels it from his heart. I've talked with him many times, and I know that he's saddened by what's happened to our state, how our families have been divided. I talked to a woman this morning who said her husband and her son won't talk to each other because her husband is a staunch Republican and her son is a school teacher, and she doesn't know what to do about it. So I think Tom Barrett hears that all the time, and he feels that strongly, and he's really fighting for this now.
Let's go to the phones. We'll go to Matthew in Summit Lake. Matthew, you're on Route 51 with Democrat Christine Bremer-Moogley and Republican Kevin Stevenson. Hello, Matthew.
Hi there. Hello, Kevin. Hello, Christine.
Hello.
I would like to bring just a touch of moderation into the whole debate, and I believe when this this whole program started, and thank you for having us, you're asking people who they would vote for and why. And I'm going to give you my opinion or my why I'm going to vote for someone and who I'm going to vote for.
Okay.
I'm going to vote for Tom Barrett. And the reason I'm going to vote for Mayor Barrett is not because I'm totally impressed with the man. The reason I'm going to vote for him is because it seems to me, after this unprecedented attack on workers' rights that Scott Walker has brought forth, Governor Walker, and the mean ways that he does it, that we're still going to, at the end of this election, in my opinion, be a 50-50 state. So there is where we're going to have to learn to compromise. Mm-hmm. But Governor Walker has never shown any ability to compromise. If we elect Governor Walker, re-elect Governor Walker, we're going to be in the same mess we are in now. And this is the basis of my argument, or the reason I'm going to vote for Mr. Barrett, is this. I believe that this unprecedented recall election is due to the fact that he stripped the union members of their rights, not that he had to make them pay more into their pension. Paying more into their pension, I believe, any union member would have said, yes, we will do that. But he went too far. And in the fact that he went so too far, and the fact that, in my opinion, he's rather arrogant, and not going to change his mind on something that has divided the state, is the reason that I'm going to vote for Tom Barrett, because he's going to be able to say, yes, I believe that the union people should pay more into their pensions and more into the benefits that they have fought for.
But do you think they should also be able to keep their collective bargaining rights?
They're going to keep their collective bargaining agreements.
Matthew,
in my opinion, is the reason that we're having this recall in the first place.
Got it. Matthew, we got it. Let's give our guests a chance to respond. We'll start with you, Kevin.
Well, to say that the unions would just give back retirement and contribute to that, it doesn't fly. Milwaukee School District asked their teachers to contribute more into their pension and into their health insurance. They said no. Tom Barrett's wife got laid off because they would not spread that uncomfortable cut out. So you can't say that the unions would have done it because they've shown that they won't all do it. Collective bargaining, the system was broken. Arbitration was not a fair system. You had to do something. Now, did I agree with how you were going to do it? No. Do I understand why? Yes.
But he never campaigned on it. He never said he was going to bust the public employee unions when he was campaigning for governor.
But did he bust the public employee unions?
Well, he took away the right to collectively bargain. He took away their automatic payroll deductions. That essentially busts those unions, according to a lot of observers.
But the automatic payroll deductions were reinstated based on a court order. He went in and said, we have to fix the system, and he went as far to far as he could go with that and said, now we're going to work our way back to let the courts help decide it.
Well, I don't think he had any intention of fixing the system. I think he had every intention of doing away with labor unions because he had deals promised to people like the Koch brothers and people like Diane Hendricks who want this to be a right-to-work state. I mean, when you get those kind of dollars from these people, there is a price, and the price is you perform for them. And the fact is, I think, Glenn, and our caller, Matthew, I think it was right. You know, in our case, the unions had given up the concessions. They had said, and in the Wausau School District, for instance, they had already given up already what had been asked of them. So it wasn't a matter of giving up more. They had agreed. And then after they had agreed to give up their benefits, they take away collective bargaining rights. It's wrong. Collective bargaining is something that was given up in return for wages.
Let's talk about Diane Hendricks. The governor has been widely criticized for comments that he made in that documentary a year ago, which just came to light, in which he spoke to Diane Hendricks, a billionaire supporter from Beloit, who asked him if he would make Wisconsin a right-to-work state. He said first he had to use a, quote, divide-and-conquer strategy by eliminating collective bargaining rights from public workers. How damaging is that interview segment, Kevin?
I don't think you're going to find it, or in the end, it's going to be that damaging. At the convention that was just held, he came out in favor of maintaining employees' rights to bargain.
Now he says he's not in favor of making Wisconsin a right-to-work state, even though he sponsored right-to-work legislation when he was in the Assembly. But Barrett says he's got a hidden agenda to do just that if he wins the recall. And Republican Representative Chris Kapinga, at a listening session in Delafield, according to two observers, he said, quote, we have right-to-work legislation in three different offices ready to go. Is there a hidden plan, Kevin, to introduce right-to-work legislation in Wisconsin? If there is, as a Republican, would you support that?
I don't believe there's a plan for that. I think that they understand that they have a lot of fence mending that has to happen. Right-to-work. First of all, the Democrats hopefully will go to Iowa this time and not Illinois. So you're going to create the same problem all over again. So I don't see right to work as being an issue that's going to come up in the next two years. You're going to see the economy is just too big of a problem, and you've got a budget to work on.
Well, according to the Marquette University poll, 40% of the union workers in Wisconsin agree with you because they're supporting Scott Walker, according to that poll.
Well,
what does that tell you?
Well, that's why I think the poll is extremely suspect. And as I said, if we look at who they polled, it isn't necessarily right. And as we said earlier, polls are not something that you can always rely upon. But I think what's interesting about Representative Kapinga's comments is that they're not backing away from right to work. And what Walker said, Glenn, I don't think he said he's not interested in it. He said he would not pursue it primarily because he doesn't think he has the votes. Now, what happens if the Senate flips to Republicans? He's got the votes. And then what does he say? Well, I have a mandate. And then where are we? We're right on the road to right to work. Diane Hendricks gets what she wants, which was for $500,000 investment, we turn Wisconsin red, and we have no more unions.
We have to take a quick break. We'll be back with Christine Bremer-Moogley and Kevin Stevenson. And Jennifer, with your call from Woodruff right after this.
Support for WPR comes from Rely Local Wausau, working to build the local economy and strengthen the community by making local business everybody's business. Learn more about locally owned and operated businesses at relylocal.com.
And we're back on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio with Kevin Stevenson, a Republican, and Christine Bremer-Moogley, a Democrat. 1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to join the conversation. And let's go to Jennifer in Woodruff. Jennifer, you're on Route 51.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I've been listening for quite some time, and I think as I listen, I don't know which I want to address first, because your one person there said, we need to ask the Democrats why they're so angry, because Tom Barrett sounded angry in his victory speech. I'm obviously a woman, and I'm a teacher, and it's just been like I've been beaten on for months now since Governor Walker took office. I mean, he's in my doctor's office, where he's decided that I'm not capable of my own choice if I want, you know, to have an abortion or not. I have to go through more loopholes to do that. And as a teacher, I have taken actual money cuts year after year after year, because our health insurance keeps increasing, and we know that we have a great deal with health insurance. So we agreed as a group to take pay cuts as monetary as so our insurance. When some people I know even have had a pay cut, they didn't even get a raise. They actually had a loss of money. So and every district is different, and I don't think, you know, recognizing Milwaukee, that is its own entity unto itself as far as the teachers union go, and the rest of the state is, you know, different. So looking at just one entity as a union doesn't make us all the same. In district for district, it's totally different.
Jennifer, thanks so much for the call. I want to address this issue of women's rights. And I think the way I'm going to go into this, we need to start talking about the 29th state Senate race. And it's been an issue that's come up in the race between Donna Seidel and Jerry Petruski. She had a very controversial television ad out. I'm going to play the ad for you, and then I'm going to read Jerry Petruski's reaction.
I have something to say to you, Jerry Petruski.
I work hard every day.
And you think women shouldn't get paid the same as men?
For doing the same work?
And when it comes to my health, Jerry?
And the lives of my family and friends?
You slashed funding for breast and cervical cancer screenings.
And voted against emergency contraception.
For victims of rape and incest.
I have something to say to you, Jerry Petruski.
Jerry, how could you?
How could you do that to my daughter?
How could you do that to my mother?
How could you do that to us?
Jerry, we expected more from you.
Now, Jerry Petruski in a newspaper column called that ad categorically and deliberately false. He said that the only time in the last 10 years that funding for cancer screenings was cut was in the 2009 budget that Donna Seidel voted for and that he opposed. Who's right here? I asked Donna when she was on the show a couple of weeks ago, Jerry Petruski's been married to the same woman for 38 years. He's got two daughters. Would he really be doing anything to hurt women?
Well, that's kind of ridiculous, Glenn. First of all, it's a fantastic ad, and it really reflects what he did. He voted to defund Planned Parenthood. And that is where women get their breast cancer screening and their cervical screening. Women are poor in this state. The poverty level is increasing. They don't have health insurance. Where do they get their help? They get it from Planned Parenthood. That was cut by Jerry Petruski. He voted to cut it. He is one of the leaders. He's got a lot of seniority in the state legislature. He's one of the leaders. What did he do to try to protect this? So when we talk about Jerry Petruski and doing away with women's rights, he voted to defund Planned Parenthood. He voted to allow the Equal Pay Enforcement Act to be repealed or to be done away with. I mean, he's the one that voted for all these things. That ad is right. Jerry Petruski, whether he has a good marriage or not, he's voting against women's rights in this state, and people have to reflect that and understand it and know it and learn it.
Kevin Stevenson?
Well, the repeal was a repeal of a feel-good law. Real good act.
What
are
you talking?
Because you're covered under the federal law protects that. Why did you need a state law that just redefined and said the same thing the federal law says? Does it mean more money for lawyers in the state? Yes, it is harder to file a federal case than a state case the way the law was written.
And incidentally, Kevin, you are talking to a
trial attorney. Lawyer.
You're talking on my ballpark here, Kevin. And so let's just talk about this, because the unequal pay and the Pay and Equity Act was very important for women in this state. Because although, yes, women in northern Wisconsin and women across the state have a right to file under federal law under Title VII, that means you have to hire a lawyer who practices in either Milwaukee or Madison. Okay, I don't practice in Milwaukee and Madison, and I would love to represent women on these cases, but I can't because I can't travel down there for all these cases. Moreover, because of the Republican Senate and our U.S. Senate, we are short one judge, one federal judge, and we have huge backlogs in our state. So, first of all, you got to hire a lawyer who only practices down there, and that's hard to do. And second of all, we have a backlog in federal court. But most importantly, the state law allowed women to go into state court in their own communities with their own peers on the jury and get compensation for their losses, true compensation, not just statutory penalties. And if an employer was acting in a way that was willful and wanton, and there are plenty of examples, and I'll cite one for you, then they would have a right to punitive damages. Now, in that, I have to just say, Glenn, that law, it was put into effect in 2009, and the effect of that law was to deter employers who were bad actors from discriminating against women on the gender issue. And so what happened in our state was we went from 36th in the nation on pay equity to 24th in 2 years. And that was a huge, huge increase. That hadn't happened in many, many years.
Let's give Kevin a chance to respond. Kevin?
So in 3 years, we've filed how many state cases?
None.
Zero.
None, but
zero.
That was a detriment. The law was in effect, and the employers knew about it.
So you're making an assumption that because you passed a feel-good law...
It's not a feel-good law,
Kevin. ...that reinforced what the federal law already said, that is the reason why.
It gave women remedies. Kevin, you don't understand this. I'm sorry. But it isn't just a feel-good law, number one. It's a law that gives true remedies to women who are being discriminated against in our own community. In this area, there was a very well-reported case in Abbotsford of a woman who was the top salesperson there, the very top salesperson, who was receiving much less wages than a man in the factory. She was the top. She was getting less wages. Her employer said, we shouldn't pay her that much because she's just a cow. Let's milk her. That was evidence in the case.
The employer really said that?
Yes. You can read the decision. It's Abbotsford.
All right. So what the argument is... that because these punitive damages were in the state law, that served as a deterrent. And even if no lawsuits were filed, the fact that the law was on the books was enough to deter discrimination.
So then, as I understand it, you would support the Arizona law against immigration.
Of course, I wouldn't support the Arizona law.
Well, why not? It's a law
that
reinforces state. It's a deterring immigration, illegal immigration to the state of Arizona.
It's draconian, xenophobic, and it's against all people that we don't have that issue before us.
We've got a phone call on this same issue. We're going to take it, and it's Moira from Antigo. Moira, you're on Route 51.
Hi, Glenn. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, I was listening in on the conversation. I think first of all, I find it very patronizing to say it's a feel-good law. Please don't talk to women that way.
That's right.
You know, it's insulting. And the other part is that, from what I understand, that it took 10 years to get this law into place, and then it was just dismantled and considered frivolous. And I am so tired of that rhetoric coming out of, Madison, and I don't know if we just have to bump a bunch of men out of there for them to listen, because there's just so many issues in this, and that's why I'm supporting Tom Barrett. There's just so many issues that they have taken us backwards with that law in particular.
Moira, did you support Tom Barrett in the primary?
Yes, I did.
You did, even though Kathleen Falk and Kathleen Vinehout, two women, were running against him.
Yes, I'll tell you what, I have my own reasons for going with Tom Barrett, because I felt he was the strongest candidate. I would have loved to have. I will certainly go back. They were both very strong women, and we had excellent candidates, including La Follette on the ticket. It was almost hard to decide, but that's neither here nor there. As far as what's happening down in Madison, it's still that almost everything seems to be very punitive towards women, and particularly, the poor, they can't speak with dollar bills to sway votes and to get attention. And so when you consider Planned Parenthood and, the whole idea of abstinence, are you kidding me? That's going to be now our educational standard.
Moira, we're going to have to leave it there because we are running short on time, but I really do appreciate you calling in and sharing your thoughts with us.
Okay, thanks, Glenn. Have a good evening.
Route 51 Regional Talk Radio with Christine Bremer-Moogley and Kevin Stevenson. We got to take another short break here, and before I do that, I should probably make sure that I've got it queued up. There we go. We'll be back right after this.
Support for WPR comes from Northwind Renewable Energy in Stevens Point, partnering with agricultural and commercial industries to invest in Central Wisconsin's renewable energy future. More about the benefits of solar for business at northwindre.com.
You are listening to Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We've got Democrat Christine Bremer-Moogley with us, and also Republican Kevin Stevenson talking about the recall elections. We're running short on time, but I do want to play a couple of clips. We've got Donna Seidel running for the 29th State Senate District at her victory celebration after her primary win over the fake Democrat, James Buckley, from Antigo. And we've also got comments from Jerry Petruski when he announced his candidacy. First Donna, then Jerry.
People want to know what we are going to do about jobs. We heard Republicans talk about jobs in the economy for the last 2 years. But people are saying, something's wrong with that. We're dead last in the country. Maybe instead of talking about jobs, we should actually do something about it. people in each and every community across this district are talking to me about what they know makes our community strong, and that is our public schools. They know that our kids and our grandkids ought to be able to know that they will go to the best public schools like we all had a chance to do. That can't happen when we see the decimating cuts that Jerry Petrowski and the Republicans made in this last budget cycle. And people in these communities are also really concerned in these tough economic times that they will not be able to make sure that they have access to the best health care that we have available to us. They're afraid that they won't be able to afford it for themselves and their kids. And now we're seeing 17,000 or more Wisconsinites losing that opportunity for health care. People are telling me Wisconsin's moving in the wrong direction. They know that if they elect me, we can change that.
Democrat Donna Seidel and now Republican Jerry Petrowski.
I believe that as your state senator, I will have the opportunity to have a greater, even greater impact on our community and our families here in central and north central Wisconsin. You see, I'm an optimist. I believe that there are solutions to all the problems we face today. And I believe that tomorrow will always be better than yesterday. This election should not be about partisan politics. It should be about how we best move forward by working together. Legislators need to spend more time actively working on solutions to problems instead of bickering about partisan politics. We need to focus on keeping jobs that we have and do everything we can to make sure that we get every additional job we can bring to this area. We need to continue to balance the state budget and protect our taxpayers by making government live within its means and by finding ways to do more with less. We need to ensure that our families receive the health care they need and the guarantee our young people have the education that is the best. By working together, I know that we can make this area an even better place to live, to work, to raise a family, and to retire.
It's Jerry Petrowski and Donna Seidel, two veteran, very experienced legislators, one Republican, one Democrat, facing off in that recall election. Kevin, we'll start with you, your reaction to the campaign that's going on in the 29th District.
I know both of the candidates. When Donna first ran, I actually handed out literature for her in Wausau. And I've gone to Madison and I've talked to her about different issues that have come up. And same way, I've helped Jerry. I've still got my ranch down there in Shantytown. Hopefully the signs are still up in the front yard on that. They're both good people. The worst thing about this recall is it's going to destroy a good person, whether it be Jerry or Donna. They're going to get destroyed from this race. And that's the terrible thing about this recall. We are destroying good people with no reason to do it.
Chris Bramer?
Well, I don't think it's destroying anyone. I think it's two people standing up for something that is important. When Donna Seidel got into this race, it was against Pam Galloway, not Jerry Petrowski. When Pam decided to bump out because of her family issues, you know, we're in this race as it is. But, you know, what's interesting to those clips is I think that's the first time I've heard Jerry Petrowski speak in this whole election. I haven't seen him. I've seen a lot of yard signs in where I live, but I haven't seen Jerry. And, you know, when he talks about bickering and this shouldn't be about partisan politics, you know, the fact is that Jerry is a partisan. And if we look at his voting record, he's 99.4% voting with the party. So I'd like to see what he did to compromise or what he did to do something that was bipartisan. We know what Donna has done.
I want to hit one more item that somehow we were remiss in hitting today, and it's the big item in the news. Governor Walker releasing some new statistics on his job record over the past year. Wisconsin has been dead last in job creation among the 50 states, losing 33,900 jobs, according to the old figures. But this week, the governor released new numbers showing Wisconsin adding 23,300 jobs. The governor is touting the figures in campaign commercials. The Barrett campaign says he's cooking the books, and now just this afternoon, new job figures come out for April showing Wisconsin losing 6,200 private sector jobs in April. Are those statistics suspect as well, and how do we know what the facts are here? We'll start with you, Kevin, and then Christine.
labor numbers get revised. You have the initial labor numbers released normally the first week of each month. It takes 30 to 60 days for those actual numbers to be compiled, compared, and released. This is nothing new. It's just the first time anybody's decided to really look at them and say, wait a minute, these numbers have changed. Unemployment dropped based on the old numbers and down to 6.7. By what we have seen so far, and what I'm saying specifically is by what we have seen so far, there will be an increase and a change in numbers for last year. But you're going to see the same change in April. Could be worse, could be better. But until you have that real numbers in, you don't know.
Christine, you got 30 seconds on this.
I just think that it's interesting that Scott Walker touted the numbers from the same survey when he felt they were in his favor. And when he knows he's going down the drain and that we're still dead last in the country, he starts coming up with a new way to look at this. The fact is this. We're dead last. We aren't doing well. He's divided our state. No businesses want to come here right now because of what the atmosphere he's created. So we've got a lot of work to do, and Tom Barrett can do it.
Who's going to win on June 5th?
There's no question in my mind. The people are come together, and Tom Barrett will be our next governor. And
Kevin Stevenson?
Oh, Scott Walker's going to bring the people on in. There's a lot of people sitting on the sidelines right now because they're just worried to say what they feel.
We want to thank today's guest, Democratic Party activist Christine Bremer-Moogley of Wausau and Republican Party activist Kevin Stevenson of Merrill. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producers, Jane Ritger and Crystal Bennis. Thanks, as always, to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Next Wednesday, I'll be moderating the only scheduled debate between the candidates for the 29th State Senate District, Democrat Donna Seidel and Republican Jerry Petruski. They'll be facing off Wednesday at 7 p.m. at the UW Marathon County Center for Civic Engagement Theater. The candidates will be questioned by Rob Mentzer of the Wausau Daily Herald, Melissa Langben of WAOW-TV9, Jeff Talen of WSAW-TV7, and Matt Lehman of WSAU Radio. We'll be carrying the event live on many of these Wisconsin public radio stations. And then again the next day, next Thursday at 5, in the regular Route 51 time slot. That debate also sponsored by the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service. Thanks again for riding along with us today. Until next week, we are heading out of town.